Welcome to the Promised Land, those of you that are new. It's good to see new faces and have you join us for worship. It's an honor to have you. Maybe this is one of your first times to be in a church. We're glad to have you. Welcome. Promised Land is a safe place to explore and, you know, just think about God, and we welcome you. We're glad that you're here. Maybe you're new to town. We always have people that find us on Google. They're looking for a church. So you found Promised Land. Glad you found us. Glad Google did its job and you found us. Glad to have you here today. Those of you that checked your kids over in the Student Center, you might see some construction over there. All these kids that came up to the front and stood today, in a couple weeks, they're going to have their own room. It's going to be their own room, brand new, with all kind of great technology in it, and a space that they can call their own. They've been sharing the theater with a lot of other people, and they have to take their stuff in and out every week. And just in a couple weeks, they're going to have their own space over there. We're excited about that. Your kids are going to love it. And I think this is the biggest Bible I've ever seen in my life. Let me see that thing. Can you carry it? Look at this thing. That is a Bible, and it's hardcover too. I'm going to talk to you today about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and that's amazing. Keisha, help her out there. Thank you. And a crane to operate that thing. All right. Okay. I don't doubt that. For everybody that's joining us online today, we're glad to have you. Thank you for joining us wherever you're watching us. It's an honor to have you. Glad to have you. Our Lockhart campus joined us via video earlier as well. And we had a great 8:30 service and 10 o'clock, and here you are. Thank you for being with us. I think I've said that 100 times already, but I mean it. I'm glad you're here. And my wife and son are on the front row. That's awesome. My wife and I are going to go to Israel next year. We'd love for you to come with us. We have an information meeting coming up in 2 weeks on October 27th. It's a Sunday at 5 o'clock over in the Student Center. It'll be a short gathering, but we'll answer questions, talk about the trip, the details. No obligation if you want to just show up and just get some information, just hang out. We'd love to have you. And also, I want to let you know that if you're not a part of a small group yet, it's not too late. We have many people that are gathering together every week and studying the Bible together, going on exercise walks, and I mean, just anything you can think of is happening in our small groups. They're meeting in Buda, Kyle, San Marcos, Lockhart, New Braunfels, and there's groups for married folks with kids, empty nesters, college students. Just anything you could think of. Go out on the hub out there today in the foyer and grab one of those little brochures. And it has a list of it. If you're online, if you have a phone or a tablet, you can go to our website. You can see a list of all the groups on our website as well, psmchurch.com. So today we're completing a series. This is the final day of our It's Not Complicated series. We've been studying the book of Ephesians, and today is chapter 6. It's the 6 weeks of this series. We've taken a chapter per week, and if you missed it, you can always go online to our website, grab the archive. If you subscribe to podcasts, you can find Promised Land Sermons on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts, and follow along there as well if you missed a message. But today I want to tell you a final word, and that's the way Paul said it, the one who wrote this book. A final word. We're going to start in verse 10 of Ephesians, the 6th chapter. And I want to encourage you to take some notes today. You may not be a note taker in church, but I want to give you some content today. And it's really not me giving it to you. It's the Bible giving it to you today. But it's going to be so, so helpful to get the stuff today. So I want to encourage you to take notes. And because I feel like this is a message that's pretty meaty. And it's going to be hard to remember. But you're going to want to remember it because It's going to be so helpful for you. So this is what it says in Ephesians, the 6th chapter and the 10th verse. A final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on. I'm going to say that again. Put on. The reason I'm saying that three times is because that's a directive. That's an assignment for you. Meaning that what he's trying to say is you don't have to do this, but I'm encouraging you, do this. Put it on. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. So this scripture tells us something very clear, and it's not complicated. This is what this scripture says. You will be attacked. Yay! That's not encouraging. That's not exciting. That's not something you want to hear. But you need to hear that. You will be attacked. That's what the scripture says. The devil has strategies. He's going to be coming after you. Why don't you tell your neighbor that? Why don't you wake up? Are they awake? Make sure they're awake. Poke them. Elbow them. Tell them, you will be attacked. It may be tomorrow. It may be next year. It may be next minute or two. I don't know. You're going to be attacked. So you can no longer make that excuse that you didn't know. It was a surprise attack. No. The pastor's telling you, you hearing it today, you're going to go through tough times, tough seasons, tough days. Psalm 23 does not say, yay, I will never walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Does it? No, it says, even though I walk through this shadowy death experience. So we're all going to have those experiences. We're all going to have moments that we don't like. Things that are difficult. So who are we being attacked by? The 12th verse says, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Man, that sounds heavy, doesn't it? That sounds intense. Dark world, evil rulers, authorities in the unseen world, evil spirits. The verse before that said the devil. But it's very clear. You're not seeing these with your eyes, but they are very real, and they are in the spiritual realm. Look what verse 13 says. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then, after the battle, you will still be standing firm. So, what does this spiritual battle look like? What is the heavy, dark things and the armor needed for? Well, many people, when they read that text and they see that big, dark imagery, they think that the spiritual battle looks like the last scene out of The Lord of the Rings or Dungeons and Dragons or something. Check out this picture of this fighter fighting this massive fire-breathing dragon kind of thing. And so when we read that text, we think that the spiritual warfare is going to look like that. I don't know about you, but I have never seen a dragon like that. I've never even felt it like that. And so what can happen is, since we don't see that, we don't experience that, then we're not prepared for spiritual warfare. And then when a bad day comes, we're like getting the Bible, we're digging through, we're trying to find, where was that scripture about there was a sword or something, there's a shield or something, trying to figure out how to make it when you're having a bad day. Well, I want to help you today know that spiritual warfare looks a lot less like this picture, and it looks a lot more like this next picture. Check out this next picture. This picture here is really where spiritual warfare starts warming up. Come on, Mary folks. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Oh, yeah. Selfishness, self-centeredness. I said this. I can't believe you said that. And all the feelings and all the thoughts and all the frustrations of a fighting couple. And let me just say that every time that I have a message that I have to preach about spiritual warfare or marriage or anything like that, Erica and I have the biggest fight of the year this week. How could that happen? Oh, man. The devil is getting at us wherever he can. Here's another picture that displays spiritual warfare. And this one's probably a surprise to a lot of people. But you have the Armani suit on, the Rolex watch, you're rolling in that Mercedes or whatever it is, and you got everything going for you, and I'm on top of the world. And what many people don't realize is there is a spiritual battle going on even in this scene right here. Even when you think you got it all together, the devil is actually scheming in a spiritual realm that you cannot see. What do you see? Oh, I see everything's awesome. Everything's great. But what the devil is doing is he is causing a war to go on inside of you, saying, look what you've done. Look what you've accomplished. You've finally made it. You've been accepted into this crowd. You have this going on here. And all of a sudden, you start losing a battle that you don't even know you're fighting. Oh, this is good stuff right here. I want to help you. I want you to be able to be prepared for spiritual warfare. So if you're married, you're going to get in spiritual warfare. If you got a need for money or a job or to make it, or if you're trying to get an education and you're really rocking and rolling, got that 4.0, come on. Any Bobcats in here with a 4.0? Yeah, let's go. Yeah. There's a spiritual warfare coming against anybody that feels like they've made it. Look at this next picture. This next picture is spiritual warfare as well. But let me show you or tell you that what you think is the battle is not really the battle. Remember what the verse said that we read. It says that we're not fighting against flesh and blood. We're not fighting against a spirit or a physical infirmity. That's not what we're fighting. What we're fighting, especially in this picture right here, is what's the future hold? What's going to happen? Is he going to die? Am I going to die? What's going to happen in this situation? And inside of our mind and inside of our heart, the devil is going to use this situation to come against you. Paul Tripp says in his New Morning Mercies devotional, which is a fantastic devotional if you're looking for one. Paul Tripp wrote this devotional. It's a bestseller. Ironically, this week, this was one of the devotions. Said, the great spiritual war is not the rare exotic experiences of demons dancing on the table that we often think it is. No, it is the constant battle for our hearts that rage between God and a seductive and deceptive enemy until that enemy is under the feet of Jesus. So how do we fight this battle? How do we come against it? Well, Scripture tells us, it goes on in verse 14 to tell us this very uncomplicated thing, and that is that God arms us. It's not complicated. You're going to be attacked. But it's also not complicated. God's going to arm you with what's necessary to win the battle. Amen. That was a good place for an amen right there. He's going to give you what you need to fight exactly what You're fighting. You are going to be attacked, but God is going to arm you. Now, here's the question that we have to answer. Will I put that armor on? Like, everything else I'm about to say today, you can throw it away if you're not going to use it. Because remember what he said in that first verse that I read to you. He says, be strong, put on all of God's armor that you may be able to stand strong. So he is going to arm you, but I want to urge you, encourage you. This is where I want you to take notes. This is so important. Make sure you know what the weapons of your warfare are. I'm about to tell you, they're in the scripture right here. Verse 14 gives us our first one, and it is the belt of truth. Now, you might think, well, that's kind of lame. A belt? It's part of my armor? Yes. A belt is super important. A belt holds it all together, holds my pants up, but it would hold the garment together, the outfit together. It would also be what you would, that would hold the other equipment too, right? That's going to be used in battle. So the belt is so important. You have to put your belt on. And what it says is that the belt is truth. So every day before you get out of bed or before you go about your day, you better make sure you put on your belt of truth. What is truth? Truth is something that is always accurate. Eternal truth is the same no matter if you live in China or South Africa or if you live in 1492 with Columbus or you live in 500 BC or you live in 2020. Truth is truth. And this world tries to teach you that there's no such thing. It's all relative, but that's not true. There is truth. Let me tell you what you gird yourself with, what you put on as your belt. What is truth? This is truth. God loved you and chose you before the world was created. That's true. And we learned that in chapter 1. So if you're foggy on that, go back and read Ephesians 1. God loved you and chose you before the world was created. That's true. Humans betrayed God and separated themselves from God, and we're included in that. We've done that too, and caused a big chasm between divinity and humanity. That's true, and that's ugly, but it's true. Jesus came to bridge that gap and bring man and God back together, woman and God back together. That's true. You better gird yourself with that truth. You better put that belt on. But here's something else we learn in chapter 1 that's so important, and it is truth that you better make sure you have with you. And that is that this world that you live in right here is not the end. The marriage that you're in right now, the financial situation you're in right now, the church that you're in right now, this is not the best that God has for you. There's going to be a day when he completes this renewal of this new earth, new heaven. We're with him forever and ever. This is truth that you have to make sure you have. Because if you don't have this truth with you, then you're going to be living by your own finite point of view. And you'll think that you're the main character of your life. But instead, this is God's story. He is the main character. We're just bit parts of his story. If you can have that truth around you all day long, it's going to hold you together. That perspective of this is God's story. This is everything that he's got. It's in the palm of his hand. I can trust him. He's the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. That's who God is. He's got it all taken care of. He knows the answer to every single question that's ever been asked. He is the answer. That's just the belt. That's it. We're just starting. You better get that around you. You better arm yourself with truth. And if you can't remember all that, just arm yourself with, this is God's story, not my story. This is God's in control. I'm not in control. That's your belt. The next thing he says there is put on the body armor of God's righteousness, or, you know, some translations say the breastplate of righteousness. That would be your body armor that you put on right here. And this body armor protects this part of your core, the big, you know, the big part of your body, which houses the most important organ, the heart, right here. That's the most important organ of this whole area. If the heart's not working, the body's dead. And so what he's saying is you need to be protecting in this, in your spiritual life. The heart is your spirit. It is the emotional center of your body. It is the sensitive areas of your spirit and your heart and your emotions. And how many know we need some protection over our heart? We need our emotions in check. And we don't want to be going up and down with everything that happens in the world today. So we want, God gives you his armor to help you to protect your heart and your spirit. And what he protects us with is his righteousness. Now, Jesus came and was ultimately righteous, meaning he never made a mistake. He was holy. He was pure in everything that he did. And so he gives that to us in salvation. He gives us his righteousness that makes us eligible to be with God. And that comes upon us to protect us. But let me go a step further with this, because you need to put on, you need to put on that righteousness. And so this is our step right here. We should begin to reflect God's holiness in our actions, with what we say, with what we do, with how we act. We want to begin to display God's holiness in our life. He gives us, I'm going to talk about it here in a second, a shield and a sword to protect us. But if we will begin to display his holiness in our life and reflect his holiness in our life by the way we act and talk and react and express ourselves, we have an added layer of protection over our heart. That's so important. So your obedience matters. Your actions matter. Reflect God and his holiness, and he arms you with a breastplate. All right, let's look at verse 15. For shoes, shoes are an important part of our armor. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, the gospel, the good news, so that you will be fully prepared. Let's talk about the two pieces that are here. The first part is our feet. Our feet are so important because they take us places. They move us. They direct us. They take us from one spot to the other. That's motivation. That's transportation of us to work, to conversations, to rest, to ministry. Whatever we're doing, our feet take us there. And he says that you want them, you want your motivation, you want what's taking you, what's driving you to be empowered by one thing, and that's the peace of the gospel of Jesus. Think about what the gospel of Jesus brings to your personal life. It means that you don't have to earn your salvation. It means that Jesus has done it for you. The good news of Jesus, the gospel of Jesus, is that he has done everything for you. He loves you. He gave his life for you. He rose from the dead for you. And you can have a relationship with God solely because of Jesus. That's good news. It's not your work. That brings peace. Man, thank you, Jesus. You love me. And I've tried doing it myself. I've tried working myself. It's so exhausting. It takes so much work, and I can never make it. I can never do it. But just to think, Lord, that you're doing it for me, it gives me so much peace. That peace is your motivation. It is your shoes. That peace of the good news of Jesus Christ is what takes you places. It's what motivates you to answer a text or an email. Because let's just all admit that there's some spiritual things happening in communicating with other people. No matter what the venue is, no matter what that, how that happens, you can, a message, you can see something on social media, you could get so mad, right? Come on. Somebody can send you an email, it can make you so mad. Something can happen at work, it can make you so mad, or it can make you so excited. Remember the guy going like this, spiritual battle on both of those. What is motivating you to make more money? What is motivating you to have a good marriage? What is motivating you to do anything small, medium, or large in life? What he's saying right here is if you don't equip yourself, equip your motivation, equip your feet, what's taking you places with anything else, you should protect your feet, shod your feet, put on your feet the shoes of the gospel, the peace of the gospel. If anything else is motivating you first, lay it down for the good news. So good. Verse 16 says, in addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put up the shield of faith to protect you from all the fiery darts of the... So what this is saying is that the devil is shooting things at you. They're fiery darts. They've got lasers on them and razors on them and poison dripping off of them and fire and all the things you can think of that's going to hurt you. And they're coming at you. But here's what I hope you can grasp today is that these fiery darts are not things you see. They're not things you hear. They're your thoughts. They're things that you don't hear with your ears or see with your eyes, but they are spiritual ideologies coming to you and thoughts coming to you. Some of you think that your biggest attack is the day that your air conditioner goes out at your house and your car won't start and the boss is mad at you and you fail your midterm and you think, I'm under attack, the devil. In reality, you didn't change your air filter. You haven't done maintenance on your car. You're underperforming at work, and you didn't study for your test. The devil had nothing to do with it. It was you doing things that produced this result. But the devil will use it. Now, I totally believe that sometimes the devil does things in the natural world and sends things and people and things and all that. But most of the time what happens is that we allow things that just naturally happen to us and we allow the fiery darts of the enemy to hit us and injure us. And God gives us something to protect ourselves, not from a broken air conditioner or a bad diagnosis, but from the thoughts of the enemy that are associated with that. Are y'all with me today? Y'all understand what I'm saying? This is so important. If you can grasp this concept, your faith will be so rock solid. In a service just before this, Rene Monet was sitting back here, and just 3 months ago, he had a major stroke that disabled him. He couldn't walk. He couldn't talk. And today, he's sitting in church. In 2 weeks, he's going to be preaching to you. But let me tell you something. His wife, Vicky, called us and said, please come. We need the elders of the church. We need the pastors to come pray for my husband, Renee. He can't even talk. He can't even get out of his chair. And so we went over there and we followed the Bible and we anointed him with oil. And we laid hands on him and prayed. But let me tell you something. Before we could even say anything, we could tell by him sitting there mumbling in that recliner that he already had a shield of faith up. And it had nothing to do with what we were going to do or what doctors were going to do or what medication was going to do. It was completely, I know that my God is better than any diagnosis. And everything that I can see right now is telling me something I don't want to hear. but I have a shield of faith. And so many people don't use a shield of faith. Even Christians, when they go through tough times, they don't use a shield of faith. So many of us try to use a shield of logic or reasoning or just good advice. Oh, you should act better. You should work harder. You should try harder. You shouldn't do that. You should do this. Oh, if you would take this herb or this oil or this CBD or whatever. And, I put some CBD on my neck today, so I'm not judging. But if that's what I'm relying in, I'm not relying in something I cannot see, which is what Jesus can do. For everything, every situation in my life is a shield of faith. I'm not going to figure this out. I'm not going to solve. This is not going to be okay because I've solved it or I've met someone that's going to solve it or I'm going to spend enough money to solve it. The only way I'm going to be okay is if I put my trust in God and believe the evidence of things I can't see, the substance of things I cannot see, faith in a supernatural God that's going to take care of me. And I have no proof. I can't explain it, but I'm just going to put up this shield. Get back, devil. Get back. I'm not going to allow you into my mind. I'm not going to allow you into my heart. I've got the shield of faith protecting me from the fiery arrows of the enemy. Look at verse 17. This is our final two pieces of the armor. Put on your helmet of salvation. I love what the NLT says. Put on salvation as your helmet. That's because the mind is up here in our brain. That's our soul. That's our intellect. That is our identity. All of that is wrapped up here. And spiritually, that's our soul. That's who we are. And he says, that's got to be protected. And the only thing that's going to protect that is your salvation. Your salvation is the only thing that's going to protect you, your soul, and who you are. Your salvation, you need to wear it. You need to arm yourself with it. You need to proclaim and decree it and declare it, your reliance on God for my salvation. God, you are my salvation. I trust in you, Jesus, that you are my salvation. I'm going to arm myself with salvation. Protect your soul with the salvation from God. And then he says, you actually have a weapon. You don't just have things that are for defense. But I'm going to arm you with a sword, and swords are for offense. So he gave us a helmet, a breastplate, a shield. He gave us a belt and shoes. Those are all for other strategy. But when the devil comes against you, you don't just have to hunker down and protect yourself. You can actually go after him with your sword. He gives you a sword. It's called the sword of the Spirit. And it goes on to say that sword of the Spirit is the word of God. It's not some ambiguous thing that you're not sure about. What's the word of God? No, it's the Bible. Get into the Bible. That is your weapon. It's your weapon of spiritual warfare to come against the devil and say, get back. Get back. I love the story of Jesus when he was tempted, and it was a spiritual battle for him in the desert, and he was tempted three times, and this is so powerful. Just a few days before that, he has been baptized, and when he was baptized, the heavens opened, and there was an audible voice. The Holy Spirit was evident as well, and this booming voice says, "Behold my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." That was this voice that came out of heaven, and it came to Jesus. Jesus heard it. John the Baptist heard it. All the people around heard it. They heard this confirmation that this is my beloved Son. Listen to him. I love him. I'm proud of him. And then fast forward just a couple of weeks, and the devil is saying to him, if you really are the Son of God, You know what that is? That's a spiritual attack on his identity. You're really not. This is what he's saying. You're really not the Son of God. If you are, then prove it by doing this and prove it by doing that. And the devil just coming at him with temptations that if Jesus had done those things, he would have sinned. It's the same thing we go through, but instead of following Jesus' model, we try our own way. We try to fight the devil our own way. Let's just be like Jesus. That's what the scripture says. Our sword is the word of God. Every time that Jesus was tempted by the devil, he quoted scripture. He didn't even add his own commentary. He just quoted verbatim the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Get back. Get back. Here's something that's so important. When Jesus was combating the devil, he didn't even combat him with experience. He didn't say, oh, I had this experience at church. I was baptized. The clouds opened. Devil, did you hear that God said that I had this thing? Jesus didn't even talk about this amazing experience that he had. He just used scripture. Scripture was the tool, the weapon to come against the devil. I just want to encourage you, if you don't have a love affair with the Bible, you need to find it. You need to dig it out, read it, find it. If you're new to this, just read this book of Ephesians. Find the book of Ephesians. It's 6 chapters. Read it, and then read it again, and then read it again. And keep on reading. There's so much powerful truth in the scriptures that you can use. And when the devil comes against you, you can say scripture like, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You could quote Job and say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. You can quote Revelation, where it says, I will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony. You can quote Isaiah and the New Testament, where it says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive what God has in store for them who love him and are called according to his purpose. When do you say something like that? You say something like that when your kid's in the hospital. You say something like that when you're having marriage issues. Now, I didn't say that to Erica this week. Greater is he that is within me than you that are in. No, that would not. That's not. That would have been a very difficult situation. I would have had bandages up here today. But I really, to be very, very serious, as we were going through that this week, and this was so fresh in my mind and in my heart, I was very much processing these truths internally, saying, when I talk to her, I want to talk to her with this. I want to be fully equipped when I talk through this with her, because I don't want what I see and what I hear on the outside to be what I'm fighting. I'm not fighting against that. I'm fighting against Robin being right all the time. I'm fighting against selfishness. I'm fighting against my own thoughts that I am the king. I'm the boss. That I'm in charge. That I have to be a certain way in order for this to work. I'm fighting these fiery darts that are coming my way, that's either from culture that I've learned, or from family that I've learned, or from church that I've learned, from wherever, that is continually bombarding me. And so I come against that with the word of God. I've come up with a prayer that I want to pray with you right now. And it's kind of long, so you're not going to be able to say it or memorize it or anything. And write it down. In fact, I don't want you writing anymore. Let's just close our eyes and let's go to God in prayer right now. And we're going to post this online, and we're going to post it on our social media and on Realm and different places for you to use. I think it's helpful as a starting point, if nothing else. You could use that as a pattern of prayer this week and just that you constantly, continually be arming yourself, putting on the whole armor of God. The first thing is truth, right? The belt of truth. I'm going to say this, and if this is you, I want you to just be confirming it in your heart and in your mind. Lord, I believe that you are ultimately in charge of this world and my life. You have total control. The past, present, and future are in your capable hands. May that truth hold us together. Righteousness. Lord, I want to reflect your goodness and holiness in my life today. Protect my heart with your light that shines through my obedience. The gospel of peace. Lord, may the peace of your good news motivate, inspire, and direct my path today. Shield of faith. Lord, instead of getting my strength from what I can see or prove, I will rest in what I believe from you, even when there's no evidence. That's the shield of faith. Helmet of salvation. Lord, my soul is secure because of the salvation I find in you. Today, my mind will be set on you and your thoughts toward me. Sword of the Spirit. Lord, your word defeats the enemy. Teach me your ways. Speak to me through the Bible. May it empower every part of my life. Let's pray right now with everybody that's in here that maybe doesn't have a relationship with God and you would like one. Maybe you're new to this whole thing and you've been wanting to take a step toward a relationship with God, but you weren't sure how to do it, but you've been urged to just internally, and you can feel it, and you can feel the presence of God drawing you in. You're not sure how to make that next step. Let's pray right now together. The next step is for you to just welcome him into your life, submit to him, ask for him to forgive you. So I'm going to lead you through a prayer. I'd love for you to pray this with me if you're at that spot. I can't pray it for you, but I can pray with you. Lord Jesus, I want in. I want to be with you. Thank you for making a move on me first. Thank you for loving me and choosing me. Please forgive me of my sin. I trust in you, Jesus. I want to be with you from this day forward. Please fill me with your Spirit. I want to look to you. I want to lean into you. I want to rely on you, Jesus, first and entirely. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. What a great day. Thank you for being here with us today. A special moment. I want you to be blessed. Go with the Lord today. Enjoy this weather. I made fun of Texas weather, and then it went straight winter on it. It really did go straight winter on us. It's like, I'll show you. All right. So you are dismissed. Have a wonderful week. We love you. We'll see you here next Sunday.